Okay, you guys ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we're on page 9. Volume 14, 310, 1922. I remained afflicted on hearing this, and Jesus, Hugh would like to act like the sun if it wanted to concentrate its light and its heat more strongly at one point to be able to warm it and illuminate it so much as to convert that point into the sun itself while it continues its regular course over all things. And Louisa says, yes, yes, that's exactly this. It is the weight of gratitude that pushes me to it. So Luis is saying, I want to enter into this light to become sun. That's our prayer. I want this so much. Yes, yes, Lord. This is exactly it. It is the weight of the gratitude that pushes me. Jesus smiled on hearing this, and he continued, if it is so, go ahead and do it. You see what Jesus is saying? You want this? I'll give it to you. And it's that desire. He says, but you must know that just as my divine will dominates everything and is present everywhere and sustains everyone and is known by heaven, by the earth, and even by the demons, there is no one who can oppose it. In the same way, the soul who does my divine will must dominate everything, must be present everywhere, must sustain everything. And I, God, want her to be known by everyone, past, present, and future. This is Louisa, and this is us. What Jesus is saying is this divine will is so important that if you enter into this, he says you are going to be one with God, fused with God. And he says you have to be you have to dominate everything, be present everywhere, sustain everything, and I want you to be known by everyone. This is what God is called. He's calling us. This is 100%. This is 30. It's not 30-60. It's 100%, where you know and you begin to live this gift. You begin to know what Jesus is saying, and you're always in agreement with him. When he says, do you want this? You go, yes. What would you like to do? I want what you want, God. Whatever you want, I want. And God goes, good. Are you going to enter into this gift the way I want you to enter into it or the way you want to enter into it? And it's like, I want nothing. I want what you want. I only want what you want. And God says, good. Then you must dominate everything. Then you must be present everywhere. Then you must sustain everything. And then he says, and then I'll take care of everything else. What God is doing, again, this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. The divine will is everything. It's the life that God breathed into Adam. Adam, when he came out of the dust, was the image and likeness of God. God. And what the Lord is asking of us is, do you want this? Volume 14, 6, 1, 1922. The truth is I, Jesus. Everything in me is truth. Truth is my patience in the midst of so many insults. Truth is my sweet gaze among so many derisions, calumnies, and contempts. Truths are my affable and attractive manner in the midst of so many enemies, such that while they hate me, I love them. And though they want to give me death, I, God, want to embrace them and give them life. Truths are my words, dignified and full of celestial wisdom. Everything in me is truth. The truth is more than majestic sun, that as much as one would want to trample it, rises more beautiful, more luminous, such as to shame the very enemies and try to knock them down at its feet. So here Jesus is saying, as you read, as you study, as you learn these truths, the truths, the knowledges of the divine will, and participate in God, you become one with God. And that's, again, fusing ourselves is to be welding, like two metal pieces welded together. God, that's what God wants. He wants us to be one with him. And again, nothing can bother you. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. When you enter into this gift, when you study this gift, when you put this gift into practice, you become like God. Not, you don't become God. You become like God. That's what God's waiting. He's waiting. He says, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in my divine will. Volume 14, 6, 23, 22. I was thinking to myself, Jesus says many things about his most holy divine will, but it seems that he does not understand. He is not understood even by the confessors themselves. They seem doubtful before a light so immense. They remain either illuminated or drawn to love a divine, love a divine will so lovable. Okay, now this is important. When you go to priests and bishops and you say, I'd like to, you know, go in the divine, learn the divine will more, and I'd like to share this with you, they usually say, thank you, but no thank you. You have to understand. I was thinking to myself, Jesus says things about his most holy divine will, but it seems he's not understood even by the confessors, by the priests. They seem doubtful before a light that's so immense. They remain neither illuminated nor drawn to love a divine will so lovable. You have to understand, this is part of the process. Okay, you have to understand this. Now, while I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus, throwing his arm around my neck, told me, my daughter, do not be surprised at this. Those who are not completely empty of their own human will cannot have assured knowledge of my most holy divine will, because the human will forms the cloud between God and theirs, hinders the knowledge of the value and effects that my divine will contains. But in spite of this, they cannot say that it is not light. See, also the things that can be seen down here are not comprehended by man. So who can ever tell what they did in creating the sun, what I did in creating the sun, or how much light and heat it contains? Yet they see it, they enjoy its effects, and with them, it is with them all day. Its heat, its light follows them everywhere. And with all this, they neither know nor they can they tell its height or the light or the heat it possesses. If anyone wanted to rise up in order to know this, the light would eclipse him. The heat would burn him. So man is forced to keep his eyes low and enjoys the light without being able to investigate it and contenting himself with saying, it is sun. So if this happens with the sun, it can be seen that the creator that I created it for the natural good of man, more so with the truths that contain, how much more light and heat than the sun itself. So Jesus is saying there's more sun, light and heat in the book of heaven than in the sun in the sky. He says, especially when the truths that regard my most holy divine will that contain eternal effects, goods, and values, who could ever measure all that it contains? Wanting to eclipse oneself, it would lower one's forehead and enjoy the light that my truth brings, loving it and making that little light of that the human intelligence comprehends one's own, rather than putting it aside as something that does not belong to them, because they do not comprehend all the fullness of divine light. So that with the sun, although they do not comprehend it, they enjoy its light as much as they can. They make use of it in order to operate, to walk, to look, and how they long for daylight, so that the light may keep them company and live with them. But then my divine truths are more than light, and me, the sun of the day, rise in the human minds. They are neither regarded, nor they loved, nor they longed for. They are held as a trifle. What a sorrow. This is a divine sorrow for Jesus. How when I see that they put my truths aside. I, God, put them aside. I let my truths do their course with the souls who love them, who long for them, and make use of their light in order to model their lives and become one with them. So do you think I have told you everything about my truths, about the effects and the values that my truths contain? Oh, how many more suns do I have to make rise? And do not be surprised if you do not comprehend everything. Be content with living of its light, and that is enough for me. So here Jesus is saying, don't worry about people rejecting this. He says, I want you to enter into this to enjoy this. I want you to enter into this to possess this. It doesn't matter if everybody in your family says, no, I don't want the divine will. It doesn't matter in every parish that you're in, the priests say, thank you, but no, thank you. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you participate in this, that you delight in it, that you read, you study, you put this into practice. Volume 14, 1124, 1922. What would you say of the sun if after I gave it so much light and heat, it would not want to let this light and heat descend upon the earth? Would you not say to the sun, it is true that you make a good impression, but it is not good that you keep it for yourself? The earth, the plants, the generations await for your light, your heat. They want them in order to receive life and fecundity. Why do you want to deprive us of such a great good? So here's Jesus is saying this to Louisa. Louisa, keep on writing. And he says to us, keep on reading. Why do you want to deny this to your family? You read this and they will participate in it. You study this and they will participate in it. Why do you want to keep this away from them? You live in it, and it would be the divine will in the midst of goods, in the midst of people. Why do you want to deprive us of such a great good? More so since in giving them to us, you lose nothing. Rather, you acquire more glory, and everyone shall bless you. Such are you, and even more than son. I, God, have placed in you, Louisa, so much light of truth about my divine will. More than son, it would be enough to illuminate everyone and to do more good than the sun itself does to the earth. I, myself, Jesus says, and that human generations await that this divine light be unleashed from you, Louisa Picaretta. Jesus is saying this for us to understand. It comes from her. Jesus gave this to her. You can't have the divine will separate from her. As a matter of fact, Father Bucci says, well, the demons are so afraid of Louisa that when there's going to be a tough time coming, let me clue you. And what we want to do is get the face of Louisa at your front door. The demons will not come in. They won't come. They won't even come towards you when they see Louisa's face. It's to us, it's beautiful. To the demons, it's terror. You know what Jesus said to Louisa in volume 15, my mother puts the final kaput on their head, and you, Louisa, will put the final stamp. My mother crushes the head of Lucifer. You, Louisa, put the final kaput on the devil's head. The devil knows that when Louisa does this, a human is doing this. See, he seduced the first human. And now the mother of God is going to crush his head. And then another human born of original sin is going to put the final kaput. Why? We're going back to where we were before the fall. This is just so amazing what God is doing. More than sun, it would illuminate everyone to do more good than the sun itself does on the earth. I myself and the human generations await that this light be unleashed from you, Louisa, while you think of how to hide it. See, Louisa didn't want anybody to know. It was intimate with Jesus. She didn't want anybody to know. And you almost afflict yourself if authoritative people want to occupy themselves with putting it out, which means printing it up to give to people. No, this is not good. So he says to Louisa, you've got to allow me to show the world where this comes from. It's Jesus and Mary giving this to you, Louisa. The world has to know this. Volume 15, 628, 23. In fact, I wanted to be inside of man as seed and outside of him as worker, to form in him the tree of my eternal love. Indeed, what good would it be for a man to have eyes filled with light if he did not have the external light to illuminate him? He would remain always in darkness. So in order to enjoy the effects of the light, it takes internal light of the eye as well as the external light of the sun that illuminates it. The same for the mind. Now, okay, listen to this. If he had no speech to express his thoughts, the life of his intelligence would die and would be without fruit. And so with all the rest. So Jesus says he wants us to allow him to speak to us, to transmute us. That's what he's got planned. He's speaking to us every day as we read. We're changing inside and outside. Volume 16, 8, 20, 1923. The true image of it is the sun that illuminates our horizon. It illuminates everyone without clamor. It is light that has no speech, and it says nothing to anyone. The good it does, the seed it fecundates, the life it gives to all plants, and how it purifies the polluted air with its heat and destroys what can be harmful to all humanity. And yet, it is so silent that even though that they have it with them, they pay no attention to it. But in spite of this, it does not cease to be majestic and beautiful and to continue the good it does to everyone. And if the sun were missing, everyone would mourn for it because the greatest miracle of fecundity and preservation of all nature would be missing. Now, the sanctity of living in my most holy divine will is more than sun. A soul who is upright and fully ordered in my divine will is more than an army in battle. Think about that. One person is more than a whole army. Think about, you know, World War II. Think about World War I. One person is more powerful than all of that. Why? Jesus shows us. And yet it is so silent that even though they have it with them, they pay no attention to it. But in spite of this, it does not cease. I read that. Okay. The sanctity of living in my divine will is more than sun. The soul who is upright, fully ordered in my divine will is more than an army in battle. Her intelligence is ordered and bound to the eternal intelligence of God. Her heartbeats, affections, desires are ordered with the eternal bonds of God. Therefore, her thoughts, her human will, and the whole of her interior are the armies and messengers that come from the soul, fill both heaven and earth. They are speaking voices. They are weapons that defend everyone. And first of all, they defend God. They bring good to everyone. They are the true celestial and divine militia that the supreme majesty keeps all ordered within itself, ever ready at all, its commands. I'm sorry. That was a tough one. So what does that mean? What, remember I said, when the bishop slapped you across the face, he should have hit us a little harder. We are to become soldiers for Christ at confirmation. We are in the army of God. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to be in the army of the divine will. This is an army of love. It's not an army, Jesus says, it's not a war of blood. It's a war of love that God wants us to enter into. You love your family, you love your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. You love the earth, you love the people of the earth. I want you to help stop the evil one from being in control, bringing everyone into slavery and sin. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to be part of my army, Jesus says. And we go, yes, that's what you want. I want it. So our Lord is looking at us and he's saying, I've got great plans, but I need you to help me bring about a complete transformation. And he says, I'm going to show you the how and the why this is going to happen because I'm giving you the book of heaven. The why and the how is through the book of heaven. And then there is the example of Mary, my mother. True sanctity of living in my divine will. Our Lady's interior, all eclipsed in the eternal sun of the supreme volition. Having to be queen of the sanctity of the saints, mother and bearer of my life to everyone, And therefore, of all goods, Our Lady remained as though hidden within all, bringing good without making herself recognized. And more than a silent sun, Our Lady would bring light without speech, fire without clamor, good without exposing herself. There was no good that would not come from the Blessed Mother. There was no miracle that would not spring from her. By living in my most holy divine will, Our Lady lived hidden within everyone. Our Lady was and is the origin of the goods of every human being. Our Lady was so enraptured in God, so fixed and ordered in the divine will, that her whole interior swam in the sea of the eternal volition. Our Lady was aware of the whole interior of all creatures, and Our Lady would place her own in order to reorder everything, every human being, before God. It was precisely the interior of man, more than the outside, that was in greater need of being redone and reordered. So, having to do the greater, it seemed that Our Lady would not leave out the lesser. While Our Lady was the origin of both the exterior and the interior good, internal good, yet on the outside it seemed that Our Lady could not do great and sensational works, but more than a sun, Our Lady would pass unobserved and hidden in the cloud of light of the divine will. So much so that the very saints would have given themselves doing apparently more sensational things than my very mama did. Yet, what are the greatest saints before my celestial mama? There's none. They are just little stars compared to the great sun of the Blessed Mother. They are illuminated, but it's because of the sun of the Blessed Mother. Volume 16, 9, 14, 23. I was thinking of how all things revolve around the sun, the earth, ourselves, all creatures, seas, plants, everyone, and some. We all revolve around the sun. And because we revolve around the sun, we are illuminated and receive its heat. So the sun reflects its burning rays upon everyone, and we, the whole creation, by revolving around the sun, enjoy its light and receive part of the effects of the goods that the sun contains. Now, how many beings do not revolve around the divine sun? This is why we do our rounds. Jesus said in volume 16 to volume 36, make your rounds every day. I will teach you how to do this. We revolve around the sun, the divine sun. All do, the angels, the saints, men, and all created things, even my queen mother. Does she perhaps not hold the first round in which rapidly revolving around it, she absorbs all the reflections of the eternal sun? Now, while I was thinking about this, my divine Jesus moved in my interior and clasped me all to himself, told me, my daughter, this was precisely the purpose for which I created mankind, so that mankind always revolve around me. And I, like sun, being the center of his round, would reflect in him my divine light, my divine love, my divine likeness, and all of my divine happiness. At each round of his, I, God, would give man ever new contentments, new beauty, and more burning arrows of love. This is what happens when you make your rounds. You begin to enter into a life of love. It's all about love. It's all about returning that divine love back to God. Before Adam sinned, my divinity was not hidden to mankind, was not hidden, because by revolving around me, Jesus, he was my reflection, and therefore he was the little light. So it was as though natural that I, God, being the great, great sun, and the little light, my son, would be able to receive the reflection of my light. But as soon as Adam sinned, Adam stopped revolving around me. So this is why we do the rounds. It's around Jesus. And as little light became dark, Adam became blind and lost the light to be able to see my divinity in his mortal flesh as much as a creature is capable of. See, we're to see God in us. We're to look and see God in us. Why do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? Why do you love yourself? You see God in us. We see God in our neighbor. So much so that in coming to redeem mankind, I, Jesus, took on mortal flesh in order to let myself be seen. Not only because man sinned with the flesh, and with the flesh I was to expiate, But because Adam, mankind, lacked the eyes to be able to see my divinity. This is so true that my divinity that dwelled within my holy humanity could only unleash through glimpses and flashes a few rays of divine light from my divinity. See then what a great evil sin is. It is for man to lose his round around his creator, to annul the purpose of his creation, to be transmuted from light into darkness, from beauty into ugly, from beautiful into ugly. It is such a great evil doing your human will that with all my redemption, I could not restore him the eyes that were able to see my divinity in his mortal flesh. But only when this flesh, undone and pulverized by death, would rise again on the judgment day, that's when they'll be able to see it. What would happen if the whole creation could fall short of this revolution around the sun? All things would be upset. All things would lose light, harmony, and beauty. Each one would bump against each other. And even the sun, if the sun were present, because they would not be revolving around it, the sun would be as though dead for the whole of creation. Now, because of original sin, mankind lost his round around his creator, around his God. Therefore, he lost divine order and the dominion of himself. He lost the divine light. And every time he sins, not only does he not revolve around his God, but he makes his stops around the goods of redemption that, like new sun, came to bring him forgiveness, escape, and salvation. But do you know who it is that never stops around? Who prays the round, Jesus says? It's the soul who does my divine will and lives in my divine will. It's Louisa, and the soul is linked to Louisa. Always runs and never stops. They receive all the reflection of my holy humanity and also the flashes of light of my divinity. That's what's coming. That's what's happening. God is doing this. God is doing this in us. That's why pray the rounds, pray the rounds, pray. If you haven't prayed the Lenten rounds, get that book. It's so powerful. You get to be with Jesus crucified. You get to recognize what God did for us. It's truly amazing. 5:16, 11:5, 23. Do you know where I, Jesus, find my true requital? In the soul who lives in my divine will. As I, God, descend into her heart, immediately I, God, consume the accidents of the host, because I know more than noble accidents, more dear to me, are ready to imprison me. And so as not to let me go out of that heart that shall give me not only life within itself, but life for life. See, it's, as Louisa says, I am your prisoner, you are my prisoner. I shall not be alone, but with my most faithful companion. That this is the mystical marriage, but more so. We shall be two hearts palpitating together. We shall love united and our desires shall be one. So I, God, remain in the soul, and there I, Jesus, live life, alive and real, just as I do in the most holy sacrament. We become a living host. That's what Jesus said to St. Faustina. You must become a living host. And then he says to Faustina, this is what I want of you. But he teaches us how to become a living host in volume 15 and volume 16 of Louisa. So that command to Faustina that the Catholic, what Jesus has told us. But do you know what these accidents are that I, God, find in the soul who does my divine will? They are her acts done in my divine volition, that more than accidents lay themselves around me and imprison me, but inside a noble and divine prison. That's our heart. That's our mind. That's our soul. Not a dark one, because her acts done in my holy divine will, more than sun, illuminate her and warm her. Oh, how happy I, Jesus, feel to form my real life in the soul and the divine will. Because I, God, feel as if I were inside my celestial royal palace. Look at me inside your heart. That's what Jesus says to us. Look at me inside your heart. Have you ever done that? Especially after Holy Communion. Have you looked at Jesus inside your heart? This is a command from Jesus. How happy I am. How delighted and free, how I delight and feel the purest joys. Look at Jesus within your heart. He's there. He resides as King. Have you consecrated your heart to be his throne? Is Jesus the Lord of your heart? If it is true, the things of the world, the things of the flesh, the things of the devil are nothing. Why? Because everything is of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the throne of God resting in our hearts. Jesus says very clearly, look at me inside your heart. Find Jesus inside your heart. He says to Louisa, most people, their hearts are filled. There's no room for me. We have to make room for Jesus. We have to give him our heart. We have to say, it's yours. It's not mine anymore. This is what God is waiting for. He shows us how to do this in the book of heaven. Volume 16, 2, 18, 19, 24. See, you know the light of the sun? It is true. Indeed, you receive its light and its heat as much as you want. But more light surpasses you, so much so as to fill the whole earth. If you wanted more light, the sun would give it to you, even all of it. Now, if the light of the sun tells you, my, I love you, both that which is near and that which is far, even more as it covers the earth, it carries the little sonata of my, I love you for you. It's Jesus. The Son is saying that to us constantly. I love you. Now, do we take that I love you and give it back to God and say, I love you with your love. I give back to you what is yours. And yet you neither know the paths of the light covers, nor the land that illuminates, nor the people who enjoy the beneficial influence of the solar ray. But even though you do not know everything that the light does, you are in that same light. And if you do not take it all, it is because you lack the capacity to be able to absorb it into yourself. But in spite of this, you cannot say that all the light of the sun does not say to you, I love you. Have you heard the Son say to you, I love you? It's the I love you of God. You know, have you begun to understand that everything is speaking to you? It's the fiat of God. Every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water, Jesus says, is an I love you from God. Are you hearing it? Are you seeing it? Are you smelling it? Are you tasting it? Are you recognizing it? I mean, Jesus says, if you don't recognize it, how can you give it back to me? How can you thank me for all these I love yous? Jesus says this very, very clearly. On the contrary, it makes a greater display of love because it invades the earth and it keeps narrating my I love you to everyone, past, present, and future. Volume 16, 5:24-24. The doctrine of my divine will is more than crystal clear water drawn from the limpid fount of my divinity. It is more than refulgent sun that illuminates and warms you. It is most clear mirror. See, the mirror of God. Remember, that's volume 1 through volume 10. How to become a divine mirror of Jesus. A mirror of Jesus. You look in that mirror and you see Jesus. That's what he wants. Who shall ever have the great good of be able to reflect himself in the celestial divine doctrine? Shall be stirred and shall feel with himself all the goodwill to be purified of his stains, so as to be able to drink in large gulps from this celestial doctrine of the divine will, and therefore be embellished by the divine adornments of this great gift of the divine will. See, we're going to learn a new way of living. This is what John Paul II, St. John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. He said very, very clearly, he says, we are going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. What does that mean? Very simply, it's the divine will, a new and divine way of holiness. It's not human holiness. It's divine holiness. It's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass by putting the drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. That's what's coming. Volume 17, 10, 17, 19, 24. My love for the creature makes itself more than the sun that I, God, formed in the azure heavens. Even more, the sun I, God, created for the benefit of the human nature is nothing other than the shadow of my true son. It's a symbol of what is coming. I, God, he says, in fact, the sun of the atmosphere does not form the plants, nor does it give life, give them water so as to let them not let them wither, nor does it provide all those aids that are necessary so that the plant may grow beautiful, strong, and men, even if blind, may enjoy its light. It only does its office of illuminating and warming, and it moves on. And if the plants are not watered, then it can do nothing to communicate its effects to them. Rather, it withers them even more. On the other hand, I, Jesus, I who am the true son of souls, do not leave them either, either at nighttime or at daytime. I myself form the souls. I myself give them the water of my grace so as to not let them wither. I myself nourish them with the light of my truths. That's what's happening as you read, as you study. Jesus is doing this. He's changing us. You cannot be the same as you read the divine will. You can't be the same anymore. Why? He's freeing us from our slavery. He's freeing us from ourselves. He's freeing us so that we can enter into his most holy divine will. Read, study, put this into practice. Watch what God is doing. It's so exciting. My volume 17, 122, 1925. My daughter, the sun that you see with the intelligence of my most holy humanity was formed by my divinity that endowed me with the creative power and the all-seeingness of all things in such a way that I, Jesus, was to be the new sun of souls. Remember, scripture says that. You'll need no sun in the kingdom because Jesus will be the Lamb will be the sun. It's very close, you know. It's very, very close. There's three things that Lucifer tries to show us. Number one, that he doesn't exist. And if you don't believe that, he says hell doesn't exist. And if you don't believe that, he says you've got plenty of time. There's no time. Our Lady said that 73 years ago. Time has now come to an end. There is no time. It's not the end of the world. It's the new era that's coming. And Jesus says, I want you to be prepared for this. I want you to begin to live this now. So when it happens, there's no consequences. It's going to be easy. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to help us. Jesus is the new son of souls. And just as the sun that I created for the good of nature covers the whole earth with its light without denying the effects of its light to anyone, though it does not depart from the heavens, but unleashes from its center the rays that bring upon the earth the goods that the sun contains in the same way. Without departing from me, Jesus, with its inaccessible divine light, my divinity formed in me spokes of light. And these rays covered everyone and everything. And I, Jesus, at each instant, covered each thought, each word, and all the acts of creatures. And I constituted myself a perennial glory to each thought, each act, each word, etc., of all the human generations. See, that's the rounds that we participate in. It's what Jesus has done. While rising to the celestial Father with this light, descended to take, as though in its own power, all human acts in order to illuminate them, to warm them, and repair and redo them. So over each human act hovers a divine light that wants to do good to it continuously. Everything has got to be repaired and redone. Everything. Every thought, every word, every deed of all mankind has to be redone. Jesus has already done this. And he says, do you want to be like me? You want to be in my image of likeness? Then learn what I did. Learn what my mother did. Learn what we taught Louisa how to do. That's the rounds. As you pray the rounds, what happens is you're repairing, you're redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This is a glorious time to be alive. To learn, not the prayers of the saints. We're pretty good at that. But to learn how to pray the way Jesus prayed. To learn how to pray the way Mary prayed. To learn how to pray Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. What a glorious time. What an amazing time to be alive. In me, doing this was as though natural. You, my daughter, do not have this. You, my daughter, do not have this power to make one single act out of all the acts I did. Therefore, in my divine will, you shall go through each ray one by one, and little by little, then you shall follow the same path as my holy humanity. Humanly, we can't do this, Jesus says. You don't have the power to do this. But when you're in my divine will, you will go through each ray one by one that Jesus has done, that Mary has done, following the same path as Jesus' holy humanity. Everything's being redone. Everything's being repaired. This is glorious. This is not the prayers of the saints. They're good and holy and saintly, but they're not divine. See, Jesus says, as the priest says every day, may we share in the divinity. God's going to teach us how to pray in a divine manner. It's Jesus that's going to do it. Humans, like he said to Louisa, you can't do this, but in my divine will, I will be doing it. You're going to follow me, my image and likeness. So as we learn this, as we study this, great things are right around the corner. And I'll tell you, great things are right around the corner. Volume 17, 5:4:25. I enclose in you, Louisa Picaretta, my divine will. Where is it enclosed? In Louisa. And with the divine will, I, God, enclose myself. I enclose in you, Louisa Picaretta, its knowledges, its secrets, its light. I fill your soul, Louisa, to the brim. So much so that you, what you write is nothing other than the outpourings of what you contain of my most holy divine will. Now, when we read this, this can be ours as well. We have to read it. We have to study it. We have to put this into practice. It's not just reading it. It's studying it. It's learning these truths. He says very, very clearly. And even though it now serves you alone and a few glimmering lights to serve a few others, I am, he uses God's name, I am content being light and more than a second sun. That's what St. Padre Pio said of Louisa. Louisa's more than a second sun. It shall make its way by itself in order to illuminate the human generations, not just this generation, all human generations, past, present, and future, and to bring about the fulfillment of our divine works, that the divine will be known, that the divine will be loved, and that the divine will reign as life in the human souls, in the creatures. This was the purpose of creation. Divine will be known, the divine will be loved, and the divine will reign as life. This was the purpose of creation. It is the beginning, and this shall be the means and the end. We go back to the beginning, full circle, back to God. Everything is completed now with what God has given to Louisa. Everything is completed. St. Thomas Aquinas says, if the veil was lifted right now, we would see that we are in the glorified state around the throne of God, praising God eternally. That's where we really are. And Jesus is saying very clearly, it's the beginning, the means, and the end. Everything is going to be completed. Very soon, very soon. Get ready for a bumpy ride, because the evil one does not want this at all. So we'll end there, and we'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.